We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, Mike Florio, of course, from Pro Football Talk. And a lot to get to. The training camps will be underway soon, especially for the Browns. We get into training camp next week. Mike, a topic that's come up in Cleveland has involved quarterbacks quite often, and now Kirk Cousins, with his possible free agency, is getting in the mix here in Cleveland as well. But let's start with what's going on with him in Washington and his comments today. Are you buying what he's selling about it not being about the money in D.C.?
Well, look, it is about the money. It's about the money. It's about the structure. It's about the protection for the player, because ultimately what happened was the offer that Washington made to Cousins back in May, it had the first 2 years guaranteed, and according to team president Bruce Allen, it would have paid out $53 million. Well, that's the way that the guarantee needed to be structured because of what Cousins was due to make this year and next year under the franchise tag. But after 2017-2018, what happens to that contract? I'm told that the 4 years after 2019 were all or after 2018, rather, were all not guaranteed. So the team holds all the cards. The team can decide to go year to year. The player doesn't have any power at that point. And I think the one thing that Cousins has shown to all players out there, especially the star players who are staring down the barrel of the franchise tag, you have power. You can go year to year. And if they're only going to offer you a deal that guarantees 2, maybe at most 3 years of salary and other bonuses, you're better off just going year to year. Cousins has proven that, and I think others are going to follow suit going forward.
Mike, why is it that Kirk Cousins gets a bad rap as a player? You know, he threw for 9,000 yards. His stats are insane, but when it comes to him, people just say, he's just not good enough. You know, I don't trust him. He's not a franchise guy. He can't win a Super Bowl, can't play well in the playoffs. Why does he get that rap?
Well, one of the reasons he gets that rap is because the team does nothing to support him and promote him and make him into a guy that people like us will regard as a franchise quarterback. It starts with the contract. If you don't sign him to a mega deal, even if it's not, you know, and any deal he signs now will be the best deal of all time, but not signing him to a deal that's based on his circumstances. I mean, they could have signed him in 2015 to a deal far less than top of the market. They chose not to. But giving that guy a long-term contract, it supports him. It raises his standing in the eyes of the guys in the locker room and in the eyes of the people beyond the locker room. Saying good things about him, treating him, you know, getting his name right, for example. I mean, a lot of little things. And this is one thing I've recently learned. It's important for quarterbacks to be able to show leadership. It's also important for the team to help the quarterback show leadership. And I think one of the reasons why a lot of people don't regard Cousins as a great quarterback is because Washington isn't doing the things that other teams automatically do to promote and support their franchise quarterbacks.
Mike Florio with us from Pro Football Talk. Mike, I think, you know, it's funny, and a lot of people on the outside will say, well, Washington, I heard somebody say today, well, even Washington doesn't think he's worth it. Like, Washington's some model organization. If New England was kind of doing this with him, you'd be like, well, maybe. But Washington is a half notch up from the Browns in terms of reputation. I mean, this guy, I don't know that he could play much better than he has in the last 2 years. I know he didn't play great. He played really poorly in the last game of the season. Could have gotten him in the playoffs. But you're right. I mean, they have not treated him like a franchise quarterback. And it's ridiculous because I look at the roster and I say they got a bad D. They haven't had a really good running game in the 2 years he's been there. They've had, you know, good wide receivers, but no like all-time elites. They haven't had a great team around him, and yet he succeeded.
Yeah, I mean, 4,900 passing yards last year, and most people wouldn't think that he played that well. Now, I will say this. Season on the line, week 17, you're playing a Giants team that has nothing to lose and nothing to gain. They're already in the postseason, and Cousins can't deliver a win in that spot. That's not good. But
sure.
Cousins, I think, has played well, and they just have this ambivalence about the guy, and it's weird because they'll pay him the franchise tag money, but they won't sign him to the long-term deal with the franchise tag dictates it. And that's really the key here. That's the message to all the other players out there. Once you start having that franchise tag applied, and Tremaine Johnson of the Rams has provided this same example on the defensive side of the ball. If they're not going to give you what the tag formula requires, and it's a very easy formula, you basically guarantee the first 2 years of tag money. The first year plus the 20% raise for the next year, fully guaranteed it's signed, and you work out the structure and the money beyond that. If they're not going to do that, then you just say, I'll go year to year, especially at the quarterback position where career-ending injuries are rare, and it's also rare for a guy who becomes a great quarterback to just all of a sudden lose it. It happens, but it's rare. And Cousins so far has bet on himself three straight times. Two in a row have worked out perfectly. And really, I think he's in a no-lose situation because even if he has a horrible season this year, there will be a demand for him next year on the open market.
Right. No, you're 100% right. It's funny, the franchise tag has had this like negative stigma, I think, attached to it from a player's perspective. And maybe now, you're right, you bring up Tremaine Johnson and you talk about what Cousins has done. Maybe this is sort of a change in the guard, so to speak, in terms of giving the players some sort of power or leverage, I guess. Say, yeah, screw you guys. I'll play for the tag. And get my raise the next year, and then you know eventually maybe I could become a free agent, which he has maybe the chance to be next year. If he does become a free agent, chances he re-signs in Washington.
I think they're going to be slim if he's a true free agent, because there will be a team out there that offers him what Washington has not been willing to offer him, which is the kind of long-term deal that he believes he deserves. And here's where it all changes, because we've never had a franchise quarterback on the right side of 30 who is healthy hit the open market. And, you know, Drew Brees had a bad shoulder. Peyton Manning had the neck surgeries. Next year, if Cousins hits the market and you've got multiple teams that are playing tug of war for him, and I know, you know, the Browns are a team that makes sense because Hugh Jackson's offense is very similar to what Jay Gruden runs. But look at the NFC West, where you have the two prior offensive coordinators who worked with Kirk Cousins, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, Sean McVay with the Rams. How about those two teams throwing dollars onto the pile to try to get the guy? And I know Jared Goff is still the guy with the Rams, but McVay didn't draft him. And McVay knows what Cousins can do. And I think if it comes down to it, if I'm McVay, I'm tempted to get Cousins in lieu of seeing him go to my arch rivals in San Francisco. I think this could be I don't want to say a Reggie White type of a courtship, but we're going to be shocked next year when the teams line up to try to get Kirk Cousins. And I'll tell you what, Washington still has that one last option to hold him around. They'd have to pay $34.47 million for 1 year, but I'm not ready to rule that out. As crazy as they've handled this thing, it wouldn't shock me if they just decide we're going to keep him off the market again.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, we've had two local sports talk show hosts here in Cleveland say they'd rather have Deshaun Kizer than Kirk Cousins. On a scale of 1 to 10, how crazy would you say that is?
Well, right now it's crazy because it's premature. We don't know what Deshaun Kizer is going to do. There's a chance Deshaun Kizer is going to be better than Kirk Cousins. But I'd always take the known commodity over the guy who's going to be a coin flip proposition. And I like Kizer. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out this year. I like that he was a not a first-round pick. That reduces the expectation level, gives him a chance to develop. I like the idea of throwing him into the fire, though, and seeing what he can do. But for now, I would go Cousins just because with Cousins, the cards are up. We know what they are. With Kizer, the cards aren't turned over yet.
How much does it help a team? I mean, it's kind of an obvious answer, I guess you'll give me. But, I mean, in terms of if you draft somebody like a Kizer, like a Carr in Oakland, Russell Wilson right in Seattle, if you have a quarterback who's young and plays well early on, how much does it benefit the team? Because, like, you're not paying $25, $30 million for a quarterback, so you can actually pay other guys on your team to have a really good roster around him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How much are you going to be paying these other guys, and what kind of contracts are you going to tie them up to? Because those contracts are still going to be in existence when it's time for the guy to get paid. Now, you at a minimum can have a very robust middle class of players. You can have depth at all of your key positions. So if someone goes down, you're not hoping that a fifth-round rookie will have the light bulb come on at the right time to help him perform. You can do a lot of things with that money. But you're right. If your team becomes a playoff contender immediately with a young quarterback, you got 3 years where no matter what the guy does, he can win the league MVP award, Super Bowl MVP award each of those 3 years. You can't do anything until the third year ends. So there is a benefit to that. But, you know, then you got to pay on the back end. But you're right. There is something to be said for doing it. And that's all the more reason to get a guy on the field early. And the downside is, because the guys aren't first-round picks, the guys you mentioned, they're taken after round one, they're eligible for free agency after 4 years. So after that third year, you are going to have to pay, or you get into the Kirk Cousins scenario. And now we know, as I said earlier, the value of going year to year, and I think more of these young quarterbacks are going to do it.
Mike, is Jake Gruden annoyed about this whole situation with Cousins, or does he have some reservations as well?
There is a disagreement within the organization as to what Cousins is actually worth. And I've heard all sorts of things about where each individual player stands in this. By player, I don't mean the guys in the locker room. I mean the players in this drama of figuring out what to pay Cousins. And I've heard it both ways on Gruden, that he's committed to him, that he's not committed to him. And, you know, the sense last year when they were going through this was, we can find somebody for a lot less than Cousins who will play at a comparable level. Maybe not be as good, but, you know, look at Colt McCoy at $3 million for this year. Colt McCoy isn't one-eighth of the quarterback that Kirk Cousins is. I mean, he's not great, but he's not one-eighth of the quarterback. So, and I'm not saying Colt McCoy should have been the starter for Washington this year, but I just think that they are asking themselves, and this is why they continue to be paralyzed by this year-in and year-out dilemma. They think that maybe they can find another young guy who can be Kirk Cousins, and then they can delay by 2 or 3 years the issue of how much money they're going to pay a franchise quarterback.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, our guest. Mike, the Zeke Elliott story is one that just gets more and more bizarre and kind of frustrating here in Buckeye Nation land, because you know, everyone's here, you know, rooting for him and wants to see him have success, yet he can't sort of get out of his own way. The fight the other night, who knows how this thing plays out. What are you hearing from the league perspective on what's going to happen with Zeke?
Well, look, this already happened at a time where there was a report from ESPN that Elliott is bracing for a short suspension from the incident of a year ago that's still pending, the domestic violence accusation. And I think what ultimately will happen here, you're going to have the league become exasperated with Ezekiel Elliott. A bunch of incidents, no arrests, no charges, doesn't matter anymore. That's the post-Ray Rice major takeaway. We'll get you for one incident. We'll get you for an act of violence if we think you committed it, regardless of what the criminal justice system does with it. And when you start throwing these other little things on top of it, like the pulling of the woman's top down at the St. Patrick's Day parade, the incident on Sunday night at the bar in Dallas, driving his car 100 miles an hour, which I really don't think is reason for any type of NFL scrutiny unless it's done in a school zone in a rainstorm. I mean, these are things where it's an accumulation, and the NFL at some point is going to decide enough is enough. And here's the bigger issue. What the hell are the Cowboys doing? Why aren't they providing? Think about the investment you make. Even if you don't care about the human being, the investment you make in the player commands that you do what you can to try to help the player. And it's almost like the Cowboys are at one extreme or the other. They either have a full-time babysitter for a guy, like they did with Pac-Man Jones and Dez Bryant, or they just don't do anything. And I think we've seen enough from Ezekiel Elliott now to suggest the Cowboys need to be doing something to help him against, you know, himself. And he's 21. That's the other thing we can't lose sight of. He's a kid still. He's got a lot to learn. He's learning it the hard way. And I'd love to know what the Cowboys are doing to try to help him through this process.
Mike, no coach has made it to a third year in the Jimmy Haslam era. It's been a long time since a coach has made it to year three. It's year two for Hugh Jackson. Obviously, they had an awful year, as expected. Probably will have an awful year again this year. A lot of fans are convinced that the Browns won't fire Hugh Jackson no matter what because he believes in the plan. I'm not convinced. Jimmy Haslam has to prove it to me. Are you convinced that no matter what happens this year, Hugh will not be fired?
Oh, I am not convinced. I think there is a scenario this year where he gets fired. I think if they had gone 0-16 last year, he would have been in jeopardy, just because I think that Jimmy Haslam realizes it's not sustainable. If you go 0-16, you can't expect your fan base to continue to support you when you've matched the 2008 Lions. And there was a time last year where I was trying very hard behind the scenes to find out whether Jackson is safe no matter what. And the Browns would never commit to Jackson being safe no matter what. And now maybe we don't want to jinx it, it's premature, whatever the case may be, But if he's safe no matter what, you should say so, and they never did. And I think this year he's definitely not safe no matter what. 2-14, 1-15, maybe 3-13. We've seen it before with Haslam. There's only so much he's going to buy into this new way of doing things. And ultimately, you know, I know the fans have put up with a lot there, and they deserve better than what they've had. And at some point, Haslam, I think, needs to make a change for the sake of the fans if they don't turn it around. I tend to think they're going to be good enough this year that a change won't be necessary. But I agree with you. If a certain set of facts unfolds, there's going to be another new coach of the Browns.
Week one, Florio, quarterback, Kessler, Kizer, Osweiler. Who you got?
I go with Kizer. I just think that he's got the upside, and Hugh Jackson's the quarterback whisperer. There's 7 or 8 of those guys around the NFL right now. You let Hugh Jackson get the most out of Kizer, get him on the field. Because, look, even if this year doesn't result in a playoff berth, even if it's another lost year, if Kizer can accelerate that learning curve, if he can get to the point where the game slows down, he sees things on the field that will help him in the future, that makes him better prepared for 2018. So if it's close, without question, I go with Kizer. The only way I don't go with Kizer is if there's a huge gap between him and whoever the other guy is.
Mike, final thing. Of these three quarterbacks, who plays the most NFL games in the rest of their career? Colin Kaepernick, Johnny Manziel, Robert Griffin III.
Wow, a three-way tie with zero. I don't see any of those guys getting back in. The one that I'm intrigued by is Kaepernick, because what's going to happen when a quarterback gets injured? We know it's going to happen, that there will be an injury. But right now, my thinking is that when Kaepernick or when someone gets injured, the team's going to go next man up. They'll move their 2 to number 1, their 3 to number 2, and then they'll say Kaepernick's overqualified to be number 3. But I will say this. Kaepernick, because of the fact that he can run a certain system very well, maybe next year, maybe when the chips all fall after the end of the season and the coaching jobs are filled and teams are looking for quarterbacks, maybe next year is when Kaepernick ends up with a team that decides to do the system that Kaepernick can run well. So I'd say up to three, him, but I'm also inclined to say none of them.
Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
All right, take care, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.